This interview is taken from the latest episode of the Love the Jumps podcast.
You know, we had a very good season last season with 35 winners. And then this year, you know, it's gone really well. We're up to 44. So, they're going very well.
What's been the key then? Is it just the horses are now maturing and the sort of the patience? Or what has brought about this excellent season?
It's not one thing, it's a combination of different things. My partner Sally Randall, who's joined us since September, Paddy Brennan not riding so much for Tom George and sort of focusing more here and being here a bit more, having a bit more input. Been able to go to the sales with my business partner Chris Coley to buy some nicer horses. So yeah, that's all contributed. So it's not just one thing. We haven't sort of suddenly changed the routine, or we haven't suddenly changed one thing. It's just been a combination of things. And yeah,
you spent many years just the other side of the hill. What did you learn from Nigel Twiston Davis? Because he is the other side of the road.
Yeah.
Obviously, during the good times, Grand National winners. What did you learn about training from him?
You don't learn a whole lot during the good times. It's during the bad times you learn most. And he was very patient, knew his horses. But when they were right, we worked them hard and we ran them plenty, you know. So that's the one thing, you know, I found that when I was at Nigel's, you know, that you know, you'd always, no matter who you are, Paul Nichols, Nicky Henderson, any of those, you'd always have bad times. And it's to work your way through and not to panic, and you'll come out the other side. But that's probably the one thing I learned. And just keep going. And there is a race there for every horse, you know, give it a chance.
When you are having bad times, are you grumpy? What's it like?
you'd have to ask the ones around me. I think I'm fine. No, it's always challenging because it's, you know, you're doing the same work but not getting the same results, so it can be challenging. But you just got to keep doing what you're doing and see how you go, yeah.
With horses, what do you believe is the key to training and making sure you can bring out the best in them?
As important as fitness is, I think mental issues with horses is just as important. So to keep them happy and fresh and well, you know, Alvarado would be a great example of that. Before we had him, he'd hadn't gone very well in some hunter chases, and you know, he came here and just settled into our routine and our regime, and we tried to find the key for, you know, each horse. And for Alvarado, being turned out every day is the most important thing, you know, and for him to feel like he's the boss, that's the most important thing. So it's very much a mental thing. You know, Alvarado, we've never ever seen the best of, you know, never will see the best of him, but he was one definitely that, you know, likes to be treated differently.
Training methods always seem to be evolving. This is a place that's, I suppose, a case in point with what Nigel did and some of the other guys around it. But then you work with someone like Captain Tim Forster, who is a real traditionalist, whereas you've got Nigel sort of probably slightly more eccentric. I mean, what would you say he brought as a sort of the old-fashioned horseman?
Captain would be spinning in his grave the way we do things now. But I had a great start there. You know, it's 3.5 years there. It was a good start, but we couldn't train like that now. Economically, we couldn't train like that. We haven't got the staff to train like that anymore. Also, racehorses have changed. They're faster, they're leaner, they're more athletic. Facilities have changed tremendously. You know, when I was at the captain's, we'd be out for an hour and a half, hour and 45 each lot. You know, some days we only need to be out, you know, 40 minutes. Most of our lots are an hour a day, and that seems to do the job. You know, things have moved on an awful lot.
Is the sport, in your impression, in a good place? I mean, there is. Where do you think national hunt racing is? Is it in a very healthy position at the moment?
Well, look, we're having a good season, so I feel it's in a very good place, yeah. We've got plenty of people still buying horses, got some new owners come in the last 3-4 months, you know, and people who've never had horses before getting involved in the sport. So from our perspective, yeah, I think national hunt racing is in a great place, and, you know, horses like Thistlecrack will always do the sport great. People like Colin Tizzards will always do the sport great, you know. So, yeah, I think it's in a good place.
Has the horse changed when you look from when you were started, the type of horse? What is now a good national hunt horse?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I was at the captain's and we had sort of 55 horses, 40 of them would have been 16-2, 16-3, big, you know, 3-mile chasers, but would have been steady, you know. Whereas now, you know, we've got some 3-mile chasers like Alvarado, but who's 16-1, very, very athletic, very nimble. So the horse itself has changed. Yeah, they're a lot finer, a lot more athletic, and so I think it has. Yeah.
When you look for a horse, what do you when you go to the sales? What sort of do you have favourites sires? What do you do? What are you looking for?
You're looking for, yeah. We look at the sires that we like, the ones that we've done well with. You know, when it was at Nigel's, we used to do extremely well with all the Brooks. And here, you know, we're doing well with sort of things like Vinnie Rose and things like that. So they're the sort of sires we're looking at, you know. And Flemings first, you know, you can't knock them. Imperial Commando was a Flemings for it. We've had quite a few here that have won for us. So you're always looking at sires, and you're looking at horses that you think will eventually jump a fence, because that's the, you know, from my point of view, you know, other trainers are different. They like bumper horses and hurdlers and stuff. You know, we just like 3-mile chasers.
What's been your best day in training so far?
I suppose it'd have to be going to Chris or Dark Energy, who came to us from a long losing spell to win 5 races and won a nice chase before as a market race, and having jumped the last in 5th place to sprint through a gap that wasn't even there with Alan Crowley on, and won a nice race for us, won Denmark race, and that was a pretty good achievement by horse and jockey that day. So things like him, and you know, and you go look at Alvarado and the National and Perfect Candidates, runs at Cheltenham and stuff, they're all pretty good. But I suppose if I was to name one, it probably would be Dark Energy. Yeah.
Ambitions. I mean, okay, you're having a great season. Is it obvious?
It's a very tough sport, so I get told off, and I say my ambition is just to survive, you know, but we just want to train as many winners as we can. And what we want to do is, you know, I'm very lucky with the core owners we have here. And what we want to do is get people involved who enjoy coming racing, you know, win or lose. You know, I feel we've done a good job. If we go to the races, horse hasn't won and the owners go away and still have had a good day. That's our ambition. That's what we want to do. Obviously, we want to win races. We want to win Gold Cups and Grand Nationals. That's what we want to do. We want to win the big races, you know. But at the end of the day, you can't do it without the horses. You can't do it without the owners. And I feel if we give the owners the days out that they expect, you know, they pay a lot of money, and it's not a cheap sport. It's not a cheap hobby. And if you can give them value for money and they can go away from a day's racing, not having another winner, but thinking, oh, we've had a nice day, we've had a good day, then we're doing something right.
Some of the prices you've got to pay for top horses now. I mean, talking about the captain, he'd be wincing. I mean, when you're talking $500,000 for a horse to try and win a race now, it is extraordinary where the sport has moved to in that respect. For you to go and find a good horse, you've got to splash the cash.
Yeah, but more so jump rather than flat. You've got a much bigger chance of doing it on a lower budget than you have, and you can compete more. You know, Perfect Candidate, who we've entered in the Gold Cup, cost us €14,000, you know, so... Poetic Rhythm last year cost us 35. He's won a listed bumper, placed in a graded hurdle. So you can compete. There's no reason not to compete. Like I said earlier, there's races for everything, you know. So
can you switch off? Because it can become an all-consuming job.
You can switch off, but you don't want to switch off because it's a way of life, you know. So we've had a week skiing, but every morning Sally and I get up and do decks and entries. We speak to the people at home in the yard. And then, you know, you have the rest of the day to yourself. We get back and we were watching racing while we were away, you know. So it's not the sort of job that you think, oh, I've got a week off, I'll turn my phone off. And that's not how it works, you know. And if that is how it works, you probably shouldn't be doing it, you know.
You talk about Dex getting it right. It's finding the opportunities to win, isn't it? And does that take some doing as well?
You need all the dice to fall right, you know. So sometimes for us, you got to get the horse there to the right place. And then you got to make sure you got the right jockey, and then you got to have the right ground. So you need a lot of luck, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But we've worked a bit hard on that this year, and that's where Sally and Paddy have been very good in that they've, you know, we've done a few more entries, and we'll try and find out a bit more about where we're going to go. And so the strike rate's been a bit better this year. You know, strike rate's always been 12-13%, whereas this year it's been 20-22% most of the year, you know. So yeah, that's a big part of it.
And you talk about Paddy. Obviously, high profile with Q-Car, but it is very much a team with you two, and he doesn't live far from here as well, so it does work.
Yeah, look, he has a great input into the yard, and even if he's not riding one and Connor's riding one, he'll always give his opinion and, you know, how it should be ridden, and yeah, it's very much so. And what Paddy's very good at, which people don't see, is that, you know, he'll ride one, and then on the way home from the races, he'll ring up and say, right, there's a race in 3 weeks' time that it could go here, it could go there, or rode one last year in this race, and that's where this one needs to go. And he's always thinking about the next race as well, you know. And even when he's riding, if he's not going to win, then he'll look after the horse, because there's always another day.
And for you, what are your ambitions for the rest of the season? Presumably to get to 50, or have you set yourself now a revised target?
Ambition is to get to 45. that's the next winner. Yeah, look, just keep going and train as many winners as we can, you know, and just keep it going, really, you know, and keep the owners happy and keep everyone smiling, really.
To hear more interviews like this, just head over to the main Love the Jumps channel for the full podcast. You can also subscribe on iTunes or your preferred podcasting platform. Just search for Love the Jumps.